Greetings, dear listeners, and welcome to another exciting episode of Real Skiers with Jackson Hogan, in which I eviscerate a recent bit of online blather about the best boots to buy. I nicked their title for this piece and put it in quotes as a subtle signal to my dear listeners who know I would never publish a, quote, best boots list of any kind. This latest offense to reason was published by none other than Men's Journal and promulgated by the wizards at Apple News, who clearly can't tell shit from shinola, but that's grist for another mill at another time. I want to focus in on the details of the best ski boots for winter 22-23. The only kind thing I have to say about this title is that they got the year right. Let's not dwell on all the ways the article doesn't live up to its title, at least for now, and get into what, in particular, it says. It opens with two mercifully brief, utterly bland paragraphs that can be summed up as, quote, boots are important. Then the author gets into how to find the right fit. He begins empathetically. All the various factors contributing to finding the right ski boot for you can be overwhelming. Fit, feel, and application should reign supreme in your decision-making. Do some research and go to a winter sports store to get sized. If you have a well-fitting pair of boots already, you can use them as a guide. Oh, please, mother of pearl, somebody please save me. Let's just peel back the onion on this one for a moment. Let's start at the top. All the various factors contributing to finding the right ski boot for you can be overwhelming. No, it's not overwhelming if you simply follow advice from someone who knows what they're talking about, as opposed to this particular character. The next sentence begins, fit, feel, and application should reign supreme in your decision-making. Fairly nebulous. What's the difference between fit and feel, for example? But I'll let that one pass for the moment, because I want to get on to the next sentence. Do some research. Isn't this research? Didn't you do research? Well, as we'll soon discover, it's the last thing on this writer's mind. But he nonetheless suggests to his readers that they do some research, without specifying with whom or where, and go to a winter sports store to get sized. Oh dear. Now, let me underline some of these points. Where you do your research matters enormously. This very article qualifies as research, I'm sorry to say. Or you could go to bootfitters.com, but I'm getting ahead of myself. And you don't go to a winter sports store to get sized. You go to a specialty shop, where you've made an appointment preferably, to be fit, with the intent to buy. To simply go into a store and get sized, acting like you're a customer who wants a pair of ski boots, is something called theft of services. It's also not only unethical, it's not very wise, because you're going to need that person to guide you through the thicket. Because if you go back online with what little you learn in a shop, you're just doubly dangerous to yourself. And do not use your old boots as anything more than a point of interest. After all, it might not be the right size or anything else, so it's a poor guide to the future. The sage of Men's Journal goes on to say, ski boots have varying stiffness or flex levels that range from more flexible, usually around 70, to medium flex, around 100, all the way to very stiff, 120 and up. The stiffer the boot, the more intense the energy transfer. Therefore, most rigid boots are suited for aggressive skiers. That's more or less true. I'll let that alone. There are problems with that statement because there's not a direct correlation between stiffness of the flex and the ability of the skier, but that's a small detail in light of the other transgressions going on here. He continues, sizing is where fitting a ski boot can get a little dicey. Can't argue with that. But then he says, manufacturers often have proprietary sizing that isn't equivalent to other companies' systems. That is simply untrue. There may be a couple of outliers in the backcountry world where they use some unusual sizing methodology that may exist. It certainly does not exist in mainstream, in-resort, alpine ski boots. So I don't know where this person got that notion. But he goes on to say, as if it was a point of clarification, to compare boots, use Mondo Point sizing. That's helpful because it's all you've got to go by. This system measures the interior sole length in centimeters, and it's a more reliable way to find boots that fit. Yeah, because you have to measure a foot in centimeters to find a boot that also thinks in centimeters. In addition, boots have different last widths, finally a truism, which allow them to accommodate narrower or wider feet. Hold that thought, dear listener, for boot number one, which we're coming up to very quickly. Our guide to the spirit world of boots then says, finding the perfect ski boot can feel like a difficult process. Well, it certainly will be in your hands. And quality ski boots are pricey. True enough. But everyone I talk to for input on this guide has owned ski boots that last for years. Pause to let that marinate for a moment. He talks to his friends, basically, to find out what boots to review or what boots he's going to review. I don't know why he picked these boots, because as we'll discover in this top 10 that we're about to reveal, there is no coherent order to it at all. If you think of your boots as a long-term purchase, he concludes, your cost per use will be considerably lower than renting from a shop every time you head out to ski, especially if you ski a lot each season. Well, true enough, but we'll revisit that point later. Below, I've rounded up 10 options suitable for a range of budgets and skiing styles, from aggressive alpine ski boots to backcountry hikers. Okay, so the point here is we're not trying to pick the top 10 actually really, really great ski boots for a skier XYZ. We're trying to pick a boot that is the best within a specific niche, and we'll get to what those are right away, because we're about to talk about boot number one. And it's interesting that the top of the list begins with a boot that's at the bottom of the brand it represents, actual boot line. Unusual place to begin. But it's called the best affordable all-arounder. And the winner is, drumroll please, the Rossignol All-Track 90. Now remember, he's trying to say an affordable boot. True, this one's going to come in at, what, about $430? Which is, in the boot market, fairly low end. And all-arounder, well, yes, you could ski pretty much anywhere on the mountain with this, but it turns out he's got other things in mind. And sure enough, the Rossignol All-Track 90 fits some of these qualifications. Relatively low cost, relatively general usage. But ultimately, what this boot really exposes is some of the multifaceted stupidities of this entire exercise. I don't mean this as a hatchet job on this particular boot, which is fine for what it is. The Rossignol All-Track 90 happens to be the lowest rung in the Rossignol boot hierarchy, but it's still aiming more or less at the right skier with the right product. Let me read the copy of the review, which actually makes a few good points. With all the features of high-end boots at about half the price, the Rossignol All-Track is a good pick for a do-anything boot on a budget. A friend of mine has used them and recommends them for the intermediate or more casual skier. They're super comfortable, and they even include a walk mode for getting around the lodge. Well, he didn't try to oversell that feature, which is great, but he couldn't keep his hands off the ultimate conclusion, which is that 90 is a great middle ground stiffness level. Okay. You can bomb downhill while still being comfortable enough to hike in the backcountry. Oh, you had to steer off the road at the last minute. It is an okay boot if you're trying to save money, and that's a major concern, then you may have to skimp on ski boots, but that's not where I normally would recommend skimping. And as I said, the All-Track 90 doesn't reside anywhere near the top of Rossignol's boot line. It resides very perilously close to the bottom. One of the reasons someone might perceive it as comfortable is because, as is not revealed in this brief review, it's a 102 last, which translates into something which means wide. The sole length of the shell is also 3 millimeters longer than the norm, so there's going to be more room in all directions inside this boot. Now, it's possible that this is what you need, but extra room in a ski boot isn't your friend, so someone with a medium or narrow foot is out of luck inside this particular boot. Now, if this boot is actually right for you, you shouldn't even consider going into the backcountry, as the last sentence in the review suggested you might, and certainly not with this boot. Its hike mode isn't really for hiking uphill, as the review itself tells you, but it's for traversing the parking lot. There's no other hike-related feature, not even a grip walk sole. The mention of hiking in the backcountry on this boot is lunacy. But why, in any case, is this particular boot the best of its class? After all, every boot brand has a 90 flex boot. How and why is this Rossi better than, say, a Nordica Sport Machine 390 or a Technica Mach Sport MV90, etc., etc.? One thing I can be pretty sure of, There was no testing done of any kind. Nothing was ever compared to another boot in its genre. It's just being written about after reading a brochure. I think that's about the extent of the research involved. That and talking to a few friends and family and maybe a few people he shared a lift ride with, but I wouldn't exactly call that a well-researched piece. By the way, I want to reiterate, I'm not upset about Razi, and you may have in fact thought that the person writing these reviews would make Razi thrilled to put one of their boots at the very top of their list. But Razi, in fact, introduced a very important line of boots last year. Their new high-speed series is where they would want the attention, I would think, because that's where they would benefit the most from increasing their sales. But never mind. Let's move on to boot number two, which is listed as the best ultralight boot, the K2 Recon. Again, no particular slander against the Recon per se. It is a lightweight boot. But let's read the review. My freestyle ski friends always recommend K2s, but I was surprised when one of them mentioned the Recon as an all-mountain boss. I love where this guy gets his ideas from. This ski boot will be noticeably light, then he says parenthetically, great for the backcountry. Yeah, but it's not designed for backcountry in any way, shape, or form. Yet in the 120 or 130 version, it's stiff enough to ski aggressively. Hey, no argument there. Best of all, the $550 at 120 or $650 at 130, this boot is priced lower than some of the dominant models in the all-mountain category. Again, true enough, but you're only saving about $100, and is it really worth it considering everything else a boot needs to be other than lightweight? And the last sentence, once again, draws us into the backcountry. The only real drawback is it has no walk mode, making it less comfortable for backcountry use. Yes, because it wasn't made for backcountry use. Again, one has to wonder, what was this reviewer comparing the K2 Recon to? Is it lighter, for example, than the Head Nexolite boots? I doubt it. Is it necessarily ski better than any other boot? Well, we really don't know. All we know is that it's light and that you can ski it aggressively if you get in a high enough flex index. Well, that's sort of like saying, gee, a lot of rice is white. It's like, you know, that's not a much of a revelation. And that the fact that it's not a great backcountry boot because it has absolutely no features on it made for backcountry skiing, again, doesn't really qualify as what I would consider to be an insight. With boot number three, we at least get to a boot that would be on a lot of people's lists of best boots. It is called Best for Aggressive Expert Skiers, the Lang RX 130. Now, Lang aficionados know that if you are a real aggressive expert skier, you do not get the Lang RX, you get the Lang RS 130, a small but critical distinction. But let's move on and take it at face value. If you hit the slopes fast and aggressively, the Lang RX 130 is worth its steep price, which is about the price of most boots in its genre. Widely celebrated as the go-to boot for expert-level skiers, true enough, Lang has improved the fit and comfort, making this year's model even better. My friends who race wear Lang boots on, quote, normal days on the mountain. It's as close as you'll get to a true race boot when shopping for consumer-friendly downhill boots. That is not entirely true, in the sense that there are other boots that do the same thing, and they come from virtually every other brand out there. Lang is not the only one who makes a race-caliber boot for recreational skiers. End of statement. I know my abilities and my limits, one wonders, and this is too intensive a boot for me. Oh, dear. But if you're a top-tier skier, there is no better boot than the RX 130. God, that is so debatable. It's still going to depend on how everything else about that boot actually fits you, which you are never going to find out from this skier. Point being, Lang RX 130, great boot, belongs in any pantheon or list of high-end boot products, but he doesn't mention what else is going on around it, even within that very same line. Because I tell you, the best skiers aren't on the RX 130, they're on the RS 130. Let's move on to the most comfortable out of the box. Oh my God, talk about subjective. The Delbello Pantera 100 GW. Keep in mind, this is a 100 flex boot, therefore, and the GW, by the way, stands for grip walk, which means you have a rockered sole that will work with the modern-day grip walk bindings. Let's hear what he has to say about the most comfortable boot out of the box, supposedly. Ski boots already look goofy, and the Delbello Pantera pushes that aesthetic to the max. Well, that's certainly a matter of opinion. but I have heard lots of good things about this boot. Again, this is his measure of research, is what he's heard on the chairlift. Comfortable, true, if fit properly, of course. Great for the price, good cost-value relationships, been at Dalbello Strength for years. And great out-of-the-box fit are all compliments this Alpine boot has received. Fair enough. I'm considering picking out a pair myself because they have everything I need. Walk mode, yeah, don't get too excited about the walk mode, it's limited. Easy to fit custom liners, yes, but so are everybody else's. And reasonable mid-level power transfer. How do you know? That's what I'd like to know. Plus, at $550, which is, of course, his real punchline, they're much cheaper than some of the top Alpine boots available. Yes, because it's only a 100 flex boot. Don't you understand how boot pricing works? As you move up in index, you move up in price. At $550, it's roughly right in the wheelhouse of 100 flex boots from any manufacturer. Of course, they're cheaper than someone else's 120 or 130. Those are stiffer flex boots. I don't think this writer really understands how the boot market works at all. Let's go on to another one of his magnificent selections. The next micro genre he investigates is Best in the Park. The K2 Revolver Pro is the winner in Best in the Park, a genre from which I really should disqualify myself. I'll read you the review, but I think I should limit my comments as I'm not a park rat, and if this is what they love, God bless them. For freestyle skiers and those who like to spend plenty of time in the air, the K2 Revolver Pro is a great pick. With a well-tested three-piece design from former company Full Tilt Boots, now part of K2, these K2s are built for having fun. The Revolver has everything a freestyle-minded boot should have: great shock absorption, a good balance between flex and energy transfer, and a simple design. The 100 Flex offers an ideal middle ground between playfulness and responsiveness. Again, I have little to say except all caveats apply. Of course, the boot has to actually fit you, and it also has to be what you really want. These boots are cult boots within the pipe and park community. They love the way they allow them to land with impunity because they give seemingly in all directions. But that's for them to love and me to just leave my further thoughts to myself as we move on to boot number 6, which is the alternate pick for expert skiers. And here's one of my favorite things about these reviews: the misspelled Technica Mach 1 MV. And then they've had a curious TD at the end, as though they didn't know what the flex index was going to be. The flex index you took a picture of was the 120 flex. That may be what, I think the TD was probably TBD for to be determined, and the typesetter didn't understand that. Technica does not have an H in it. And if you looked at the picture of the boot right above the title of the boot, you'd see that, oh my gosh, the title of the boot as I printed it seems to be longer than the title of the boot that's on the boot. Oh dear. Let's hear what he has to say. Perhaps the most direct competitor to the Lang RX, the Technica Mach 1 MV 120 holds its own in every way but comes in at over $100 cheaper. Yes, because it's not a 130, it's a 120. Boy, the easiest pucks get right under your pads. A blend of lightweight performance, responsive stiffness, and surprising comfort. Surprising, why is it surprising? The Mach 1 kicks ass and, unlike your typical ski boot, looks good doing it. Really, your sense of aesthetics are bizarre. I don't understand. I mean, I think the Technica boot looks fine. I don't understand why other boots don't to your eye. Opt for the 120 or 130 and feel the classic comfort and performance of a Technica, once again, misspelled, boot. So, I love a researcher who can't even bother to spell the brand name correctly of the brands that he's covering. Let's go on to selection number 7, high-performance hybrid boot, Salomon Shift Pro 120 AT. Note to my dear listeners, by hybrid boot, they mean part in resort and part backcountry. Skiers who want to buy one boot for side and backcountry adventures as well as resort and downhill skiing should consider the Salomon Shift Pro. It's a purpose-built hybrid boot, I guess not by accident then. It's designed to transfer power efficiently when carving while also flexing enough for walking in the backcountry. It also includes a hike walk mode. No shit, Sherlock. It's a hike boot. They are supposed to have something like that on the back. Beautifully matched to Salomon's shift bindings, yeah, but not necessarily so. This is a great choice for performance-oriented skiers who want to venture into some funkier terrain from time to time. I think I'll just let that one go. It seems fine for what it is. It is a good hybrid boot, and it does do a fine job. But one thing I'm absolutely sure of is he did not go out and test any of these boots for their climbing capabilities or anything else that would make them competent backcountry boots. I mean, that's an assurance that not a single stride uphill was taken in any of these things. So even when he gets the story right, it can't have anything to do with direct experience because every other review makes it transparent that there has been none, as I'm sure there was not for boot number 8, best for beginners, the Nordica Cruise 70, peeled off the very bottom of the pile of alpine ski boots. Again, not a dig at Nordica. Last pair of boots I sold at retail happened to be a Nordica, because that's what was the best boot for that person, but it certainly wasn't a cruise. These boots are what we call buckets of love. They are not Nordica's proudest moment, which occurs at the other end of their product line, where they're doing a fantastic job with Pro Machines and Speed Machine 3 and now Sport Machine 3. I'm not upset with Nordica, and I do think that the Cruise 70 is okay as a beginner boot. But, and Nordica, please don't send me any hate mail, don't buy it. Go rent it. That's what's in a lot of rental fleets. Yes, it's only $250. I get it. If you need to buy a boot, there's a boot and it's only $250. Yeah, but it's a 70 Flex. But let me put it to you this way. A 70 Flex boot could be bent by a stiff breeze. A boot that the Cruise dimensions match is enormous. To be in a boot with an enormous last, with a tiny flex index, makes no sense. A behemoth is going to need a lot stiffer boot. A little teeny pixie is going to need a boot that is a lot less roomy. It's like renting a two-bedroom suite when all you wanted was a bunk bed. Let's read what the Oracle of Men's Journal has to say. Just getting into the sport? Your ski boots don't have to cost as much as a new laptop or be designed for insane performance. Check out the Nordica Cruise, a $250 pair of boots. You can sometimes find them for even less. They get the job done, especially for newer skiers who can sacrifice peak power transfer for a little more flexibility and comfort. By the way, you're sacrificing all power transfer, but I digress. The 70 Flex model would be forgiving for those learning to get a feel for their skis. And even just one or two seasons in these boots will save money over rentals. One fit note, these ski boots are roomier than some other options. Okay, these boots are from the bottom of the barrel. And yes, I know it's a beginner boot, but that misses several key points. The boot is huge, which does not equal comfort, and a 70 Flex won't support anyone big enough to fill the shell. As usual, this writer has it exactly wrong. Rent, don't buy, until you're ready to commit some time and money to the sport, and then buy the best that you can, not the worst that you can. This boot is not only made for beginners, it will keep you a beginner. Once you buy a boot, you should have some sort of horizon line to your ski career, and somewhere along that horizon line, you are going to out-ski this boot. I won't go into all the technical flaws in the boot that to make sure that it will absolutely never serve you. And again, not a slam against Nordica. They have served the low end of the market nobly for many, many, many years. But there is a purpose for the rental market. And this is where that purpose really shines. Hang in there, folks. We only have a couple more boots to go. At number 9, the best expert all-rounder, Scarpa 4 Quattro XT. Well, you have a 4 Quattro, it's 4-4. I'm not quite sure what that's all about, but it's a little bit of nomenclature humor. We'll move on. Many resort skiers won't have a lot of experience with Scarpa. The brand usually focuses on alpine ski boots. No, they usually do not make alpine ski boots. They focus on touring or AT boots. You don't got to learn the language there, Bucksnort. A lightweight, all-purpose ski boot, the 4 Quattro XT brings performance to the masses, relatively speaking. There are no masses getting this type of boot. Trust me on that. With its grip walk sole and walk mode, Skinning and walking are a breeze. If you have the skills, this boot is making enormous amounts of presumptions about what you are good at and what you are capable of. Don't buy this boot just because you think it's going to do everything really well if you don't already do everything really well. This is not a quick fix. At the same time, the 130 Flex means this boot can handle the intense lines of aggressive skiers. Yeah, but not in bounds, because you're probably going to use your AT setup, including the binding in bounds, and I don't want you doing that, particularly if it's not a particularly robust all-purpose binding. At $800, these Scarpas aren't cheap. Yeah, no kidding. But you will be hard-pressed to find a more versatile expert-level ski boot. Heavy sigh. If only you are looking for something that is going to excel out of bounds and then be usable in bounds. But the excellence out of bounds is where this emphasis belongs. It's not an all-arounder. It's a hike-specific boot that can be used with gripwalk bindings, but it's clearly all in on the hike mode. This is not really a gripwalk sole. It's not replaceable with an alpine sole. It's not replaceable with anything else. Do not buy this boot unless you're committed to hiking most of the time. And then remember to not ski it with your backcountry bindings, particularly if they are of the three-pin variety. Finally, dear listeners, we have reached number 10, which is ludicrously titled Best Fit, as though that was going to be universally true, the Atomic Hawks Prime 130 Professional GW. Let me read the review to start. The Atomic Hawks Prime has, quote, professional in its name for a reason. The top-tier ski boot is for experts only. In its 130 Flex spec, it's a straightforward high-performance build that prioritizes fit over extra features. It has an upgraded quick-release strap system to make it easier to step in and out, an adjustable tongue setup, and you can change the forward lean from 13 to 17 degrees. While it doesn't come cheap, Atomic has a great reputation for quality, and then it cites its above-market price of $1,100 for the boot. Well, the reason the Atomic Hawks Prime 130 has the word professional in its name isn't to indicate that it's just for experts, it's to indicate that it comes with a foam liner. That's why apparently you think it provides the best fit, because included in the price is a foam liner with the Atomic Hawks Prime 130 Professional GW. And it can't have the best fit for a very wide foot because it doesn't come in the Hawks Magna chassis. Again, I'm not picking on the boot. The Hawks Prime 130 Professional, I'm sure, is an excellent boot. I'm picking on the fact that this reviewer has no idea why it's an expert boot. He says it's a straight performance, high performance build. No, it's not. It's got other extra features built into it that a lot of boots in this category do not have. But you wouldn't know that because you've never skied any of these boots. Let me give you just a little bit of advice. I'm addressing my comments to the fine soul who penned this piece, but pardon me, dear listener, if it seems as though I'm addressing you. Here's my first tip. Try reading past the first page of the brochure. Try asking for the opinion of someone outside of your immediate family. Better yet, why don't you try skiing the boots you review? It might add a milligram of weight to your opinions. Of course, you really should ski all the available boots in any category if you're going to toss around terms like best. I realize you'll never do that, but you should at least acknowledge your boundless limitations. Dear listeners, this is the sort of counsel the public is fed by mainstream media. It is garbage. It's not worthy of lining Oscar Wilde's litter box. He's a cat, by the way, as well as my audio engineer. So what do I recommend instead? Use the Returning Skier's Handbook. It's there on Real Skiers for free, tailor-made for the person who thinks they identify themselves as a skier but knows not what they do. This will guide you through the wilderness, and it's easy. It's a 5-minute read. It's very visual. And it's made to educate the folks who might otherwise depend on drivel like this. Also, go to bootfitters.com. Frankly, it's the only place to go. They're the reason I don't bother writing model-by-model reviews, because Mark Elling and his crew have already done a job I can't improve on. I know I'm raising my voice. I get a bit exercised over this point because this is what you're going to be left with, dear listeners. You're going to be left with this type of crap instead of anybody who's trying to do the job correctly. I try to help as many skiers as I can, but it's tough when you're swimming against a current of people like Apple News and Men's Journal that promulgate this sort of absolute nonsense as though it were worthy of anyone's attention. Well, dear listeners, that's the best I can do for you this week. I'll be back next week with another episode of Real Skiers with Jackson Hogan. Thanks for listening.